Welcome back. Welcome back to Recovering From Everything, a podcast for everyone who's ever had anything happen to them ever. I've missed you, my friends. Been thinking about ya. I apologize for the long time between episodes, and I do appreciate the people who reached out to me to remind me to get my shit together. And it's not that I don't think about the podcast. I do a lot. I have a heavy sense of obligation to myself creatively, and to you, dear listeners. But here's the thing. Sometimes I don't want to process things. And other times I don't understand why things are happening, and it takes a long, long time to understand what the hell is going on. And in this instance, the delay of this episode, it has been both. I felt like I've been in the eye of a hurricane for a few weeks now, since the Mother's Day episode 3 weeks ago, which I can't even believe it's been that long. And I think by the eye of the storm, I mean like my emotional storm, my emotional hurricane. Things outside of me have been just regular life stuff. Well, except for one thing, I guess, but there has been one thing that has been sort of unique, but also not that unique. I'll get to that later in this episode. But some stuff has happened within my circle of people that has forced me to kind of sit back and examine my thoughts, but more so my behaviors. And that has taken some time. You know, like once you get over your initial reactionary behavior, it takes some time to get perspective on yourself and situations. And that's kind of what's been happening. Like I often say, self-awareness is super helpful, but also annoying as fuck. I've had some social things that have made me feel strange and some family things. And I've been questioning so many close relationships. And figuring out why they need to end. And I even told my boyfriend, yes, I guess I am calling him that again, that he was pushing me away. And he came up with ample evidence about how that is not true and questioned whether it was me who was pushing him away. And doggone it, he was absolutely correct. I've been finding fault in a lot of things, and my brain has been convincing me that the end of some of my relationships is near because no one respects me or truly loves me, and if I fuck up, then that's the end of that. And that could be true for some, but for others, it's definitely not true. Historically, May is an emotionally turbulent month for me. June is also a little bit weird, but May is especially weird. And I forgot that last month. I forgot that sometimes in May, I have a tough time. Last year, I did remember, and I sort of like emotionally was more prepared for it. So I wasn't as reactionary, even though internally I was really struggling. It didn't show up in my behavior as much. This year, I completely forgot. And I just sort of accepted my emotional chaos to be the truth. But looking back now, I feel like that's probably what was going on. More on that later, but it does take me a while to process and get perspective on some things. But I will tell you, the body remembers. Okay, I'm humming along in life, doing my thing, everything's fine. Bam, May hits and everything is fucking fucked internally. Okay, what, you may ask, what is my body remembering? Well, that brings us to today's topic, daddy issues. It's Father's Day next weekend, and I promised you guys a father wound episode after Mother's Day, after the mother wound episode. And I haven't forgotten, like, at all. I've been putting it off, to be honest. I was going to squeeze in another episode between Mother's Day and Father's Day, but then all this emotional shit got stirred up inside me and I couldn't quite articulate anything that felt clear or real to me. So here we are 3 weeks later and I'm only getting around to recording now. So I felt really weird going to record an episode about the father wound for a few reasons. Similar to the mother wound episode, my father has a ton of great qualities. And we are actually really, really similar in both the pleasant qualities and the not so pleasant ones. We are both funny as fuck. We both also have deep-seated anger issues. We both have great taste in music, but we're both stubborn. He is a straight-up Gemini, and I have a Gemini moon. Dualities are in our nature. But there's a lot of stuff in being a Gemini, right? Gemini is the sign of the twins. There's a lot of stuff where two things, dark and light, like a yin-yang, can exist simultaneously, which sometimes makes it difficult to process and takes way longer for me. Anyway, Gemini season started last month, yay, and I partially attribute my emotional chaos to that, but I am finally settling down inside, thank fuck. I feel more clear and calm, and I love that for me. Okay, so that's a ton of information that you maybe didn't need, but the point is this. I've been emotionally messed up, isolating, questioning everything, with the added pressure of knowing I will be doing a father wound episode. My dad's birthday was a couple of weeks ago. My parents were in France and blowing up our family group chat with adorable photos of the two of them, and my dad actually smiling in pictures, which is quite rare. And the confusion of being focused on my father wound, but also seeing my dad be happy on his vacation in France. Okay, so turbulent shitstorm of emotion and confusion. Then he ended up in the emergency room in France and was admitted to the hospital for a week because of an infection in his foot, hashtag diabetes. Then their trip was extended by 1 week because my dad was stuck in a hospital. They finally got back to Toronto and he went right back into the hospital. Shout out to St. Joe's, which honestly looks like a like medieval insane asylum on the outside, but the staff have been really good to my dad. And he's still there now. He's got surgery scheduled for the end of the month. A ton of feelings about doing the father wound episode. They're all compounded by this whole hospital shit. Plus, I have a very heavy amount of guilt on my shoulders for feeling the way I felt about my dad, especially in the past year. Anything I've said about him in previous episodes, my lack of compassion, and then simultaneously the appreciation and the worry that I have for him. Cool. And to be honest, even at the time of this recording, I'm a little bit fucked up mentally, but he and I had a good FaceTime this morning, so I figure it's probably best to record when I'm in a good mood. So let's get into it. Recovering from daddy issues. All right, the father wound, an attachment wound like the mother wound, occurs when a child's father is absent physically or emotionally, is abusive, neglectful, critical on your character, and because your parents are the first people who love you and take care of you, if something is off, this can have super negative long-term effects on you. Having an unhealed father wound can lead to low self-esteem, low motivation in school or at work or just generally in life, difficulty forming or maintaining long-lasting relationships, anxiety, depression, general feelings of inadequacy, and kind of inevitably, because those are quite uncomfortable feelings, substance use issues, okay? Check, 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 check. Some other signs are issues around boundaries. So you either set them as too rigid or too loose. So if you, let's say, had a dad that missed a lot of your important life events, you try to calm yourself in adulthood by setting really rigid boundaries with plans, with timing. You're maybe unforgiving of people if they are late or they have to cancel. This is like an attempt to heal yourself by controlling what you couldn't control when you were a kid, right? Which was having your dad show up to your shit. Make sense? Loose boundaries looks like people pleasing, you know, bending over backwards to gain people's love at the expense of yourself. Another one is having terrible romantic partners. Without realizing it, maybe you're seeking out people who replicate the relationship either that your parents had or the relationship that you had with your dad. Now that you're an adult, you're unconsciously wanting to conquer all those negative things that happened when you were a kid. There's also a fear of abandonment that is like a constant in your relationships, mostly your romantic ones, becoming overly clingy, driven by fear. Ironically, this pushes people away. And of course, the ultimate stereotypical daddy issues symptom, promiscuity, searching for the love you were missing as a kid. Check, check, check. There's also cycles of abuse once you have your own children, or just repetition of the neglect, the emotional distance, the physical distance. If you think of your parents as your first teachers of conflict management, think about how that was handled in your home. Think of the very simple sort of black and white lessons that you picked up from there. Some of it is kind of alarming. Okay, we're going to go deep. We're going to go a little personal. This shows up in a bunch of different ways for me. So the good news is that it's not as consistent in my behavior as it has been in the past. These days, it's more of a scar that occasionally is like, surprise, the wound is open, every now and again. But I do have to give you a background in order for you to grasp why my father wound shows up, why it exists at all. Okay, first of all, if you remember in the Recovering from Being an Immigrant episode, my whole family are immigrants to Canada, myself included. Shout out to Canada. The backstory to this is that things were so bad in the home country that my mom and dad came up with a secret plan to get us all the fuck out of there. The plan was to have my dad hop on a train in the middle of the night with nothing, lie to the train officials, take a 3-hour train ride to Vienna, Austria, and admit himself into a halfway house for refugees. Okay, and that's what happened. He lived in Vienna for a year and was eventually placed in Toronto. Okay, so first of all, that all sounds quite simple and effortless, right? Hop on a train and off you go. Your wife and children will follow you once you're settled. Fucking no. You can't just abandon a communist country. You can't just be like, I'm not like super into this anymore. Bye. It's intricate and complicated, and you need to trust a lot of strangers to stay quiet as you make your way out of the country, as you make your way through different countries and into another country. Some of these strangers are doing the same thing as you. You don't know. There's a lot of whispers and lying, and not to mention the constant worry that the government officials will kidnap and jail you or your spouse who is currently at home with your 1 and 3-year-old daughters. So super stressful, to say the very least. My dad said he cried a lot. And this is a huge Eastern European man sobbing. It's like picturing Tony Soprano crying. Like it's hard to imagine, but it's also like really devastating, you know? Anyway, so at this time I'm 3 years old, right? Have you guys heard of the Electra complex? It's like the Oedipus complex, but in girls. Okay, so I'll just tell you about it, because the Electra complex is pretty much the stage of development when little girls fall in love with their fathers. Like, this first man in your life just becomes the center of your universe. Mom who? Okay, like, you're obsessed. According to Sigmund Freud's stages of psychosexual development, guess what age this happens at? Just guess, you guys. Yeah, it starts at 3 years old. So this man, my center of the universe, a man I am obsessed with, just disappears from one day to the next. I go to sleep, he is there. I wake up, he is gone, and I don't see him again for 2 years. Also, it's the month of May. Remember when I said the body remembers? Yeah. He left in May. I noticed this 2 years ago, that in May and early June, I start to spiral emotionally. I start to isolate. I start to look for reasons to cut people out of my life. That old abandonment wound opens back up, and I push away everyone I love, or at the very least, obsess in my mind about how the people I love are going to hurt me and we will be separated forever. Isn't that so cool? Anyway, so the father wound started then. He would send his gifts and we would speak on the phone, which I now know costs like $1 million for my father to call us long distance. But physically and emotionally, I did not have a father. I don't know. I mean, I can't remember what it's like to go through grief as a three-year-old, but I imagine it's pretty horrific. So 2 years later, my dad moves out to Toronto. He's already living in Toronto. He sponsors my mom, my sister, and I to move out to Canada. Okay, yay, right? Wrong. I don't know if you've ever been an immigrant family living in Scarborough, but it's rough out there for a lot of us. My parents were just stress cases. They fought all the time about money. My dad had a big old temper. And I remember as I was learning how to speak English, he gave me shit for not knowing the English word for lighter. Okay. He was a smoker in the 80s, as everyone in the world was. So I got in shit for not knowing the English word for lighter. Now, I'm not sure if any native English speaking 5 or 6 year olds actually know the word for lighter, but that is my first memory of him being quite the harsh critic on me. So this man I loved had reappeared in my life and he was a fucking emotional terrorist. That's like a lot. Okay, so fast forward, we had moved to a nicer part of Toronto. I grew up in the same harsh and volatile environment. I'm living in fear most days. The fighting has not stopped, just the subject matter has changed from money to various other marriage-related things. There's a lot of yelling. There's violence. There's always this undercurrent of fear and like walking on eggshells. It's really tough for a child to feel seen and heard when they're hiding from someone who is always yelling. You know what I mean? And honestly, sometimes I joke to my friends who are meeting my family, if you want anyone to hear you, you're going to have to yell. It's just the way it is. But simultaneous to all of that darkness, we ate dinner together as a family every night. We took lots of trips as a family. My parents made sure my sister and I were super cultured and well-rounded people. There's always a lot of jokes, a lot of affection in our family, which is a bit of a mindfuck, if you ask me. And I also think that this is why I'm both accepting of qualities in people that are, you know, quote, good and bad. But I also think this is why I can be absolutely unforgiving when people have wronged me too. And I remove people from my life very quickly, sometimes without any discussion. But then on the other hand, I also keep some people in my life who make me super uncomfortable. So go figure, right? But it's like, it's all projections though, right? Like, I'm projecting the pain I felt in the past onto my relationships today, reacting to people or situations in ways that the person or situation doesn't necessarily warrant, or, you know, being overly sensitive to situations or people that will reopen my wound so I can subconsciously try to either heal it or confirm my suspicions of people to be true. Because think about it. If everyone I love criticizes me, is mean to me, loves me, and then leaves me, then I will have been right all along, right? My nervous system gets to be like, I fucking knew it. Everything I have been preparing for has been for this moment. And also, if I criticize and mean to, betray, yell at, push people away who love me, then I will still be absolutely correct. I am inadequate and everyone I love goes away. The father wound gets to live to see another day. Isn't the brain so wild? Anyways, it's sometimes chaotic and confusing to be in this beautiful brain and body of mine. And maybe some of my assessments of myself will prove incorrect eventually. But for now, I'm pretty sure this is my truth at this moment in time. These are just some of the threads of the web of my father wound. But it's important for me to keep some of these things in mind to understand why I think and act the way I do. Sometimes it's unfortunately not as simple as, well, that was a long time ago. Get over it. That's like not a thing. There's a whole bunch of work involved if you want to close up these wounds. And part of it is reliving your old shit sometimes to figure out where the version of you today, the behavior today, the thoughts today sprouted from. And it's not that I don't want to do the work or that I haven't worked really hard to change some of these thoughts. I have. Just sometimes the old wound is stronger than the new me. It doesn't happen often, but sometimes it gets ripped wide open and it feels like I can't see straight. And all I can think about is how to hurt you before you hurt me, or to hurt you worse than you've hurt me, because the people I love don't love me back. And I guess it's your turn to get cut now by. Again, not often, but sometimes. One example is the boundaries I have with myself. So remember earlier, I was like, you either have rigid or loose boundaries. Usually the boundaries are to be implemented in your relationships with others. But if I look at the boundaries I have with myself, when my father wound is triggered, okay, when there's something that has ripped it wide open, I will either have really rigid boundaries with myself, so non-reactionary, people-pleasing, keeping the peace, ensuring others' comfort above my own, really, really rigid. I just keep your mouth shut, Kinga. Or I have really, really loose boundaries, non-existent boundaries. Really, I'm exploding at you. I am in a rage blackout. I'm saying hurtful shit. Again, not often, but sometimes, yes. If the father wound is triggered and I can't quite get a handle on it in the moment, one example of how I am reactionary is I have either really rigid boundaries where I'm just like, shh, Kinga, don't say anything. Don't make this person angry. Or I'm like, fuck this person. Let's both get angry. But generally, I have learned to communicate well, to honor my own needs, to take care of myself, take care of my self-esteem, to have healthy boundaries, and to, you know, not poison my body with substances, or, you know, I hang out with healthy people, all that good stuff. One of the boundaries I do like to use when I'm in this general healthy state of mind is when I feel a reaction. So when I feel my father wound is triggered and I feel a reaction starting to consume me, I don't do anything. Nothing. Like, I have the thoughts, I feel the feelings. Okay, whatever, it sucks, but it's unavoidable. But I do and say fucking nothing, because I know I will be going for the jugular if I so much as let a single noise come out of my mouth. And that is a win. In that moment, that is a win. The second part of that win, the second part of healing that father wound, is expressing myself in a rational, gentle, kind way that keeps me connected to the person that has, unbeknownst to them, ripped open this old wound of mine. I did not do super well with that last month. I did not do well with that at all. A lot of pain and sadness and anger were bursting through my seams. And if I'm doing the body remembers thing, there was no source last month for me to have that much pain or anger or sadness. There was nothing. There was minor annoyances and minor conflicts. That's it. Now that it is June, I can look back and be like, oh, right. I totally forgot that my body really goes through it in May. Right. But again, this is not all the time anymore. And the most accurate picture of my healing of the father wound comes with how quickly I forgive myself when I fuck up. And honestly, it still takes me a really long time. I feel guilt, shame, remorse very heavily. And this is the exercise for me now, is I can fuck up without being unlovable. I can fuck up and people will still want to love me. I can fuck up and we can calmly work it out. Calmly work it out. What a concept, you know? What a concept. The progress over the years is that I am no longer punishing myself for these things. The way that I was punished when I was growing up and the way that I punished myself for so long. And that's excellent news, dudes. That's a good way to be. It's falling into place. The more work I do on this wound, and I am hopeful it will keep untangling as it needs to. Okay. But Kinga, you keep talking about doing the work. What is the work that I do to heal this stuff? How do I stop being angry, pushing people away, being my own worst critic, being your worst critic, fearing abandonment, manifesting abandonment by being a fucking asshole to you, you know, trying to make that all happen? So in the intro, I said that when my parents were in France, they were sending us lots of cute photos of them in vineyards and touring towns, and they like looked so happy, right? So if I am being honest, usually I forget that they're regular humans with rich, full lives and wants and needs. Like, I still carry this image of them of how I saw them when I was younger, especially my dad. So getting these photos of him smiling and enjoying his life turned him into a human for me. And I'd been holding a grudge against my dad since Christmas. Like, I'd really pulled away from him. And then all of a sudden, my phone was just like blowing up with these like cute photos of him. And I was like, fuck, my dad's a person. This is a really major thing that right now has worked for me in terms of healing our relationship. I'll give you more examples because you're probably like, sorry, looking at pictures is supposed to heal a wound that has been open for 30 years. Okay, no, not entirely, but seeing him as a person that is completely separate from how he is connected to me has helped with compassion and helps me stand firm in this adult version of me. So rather than seeing him through the lens of my childhood perception of him, and rather than resorting to childlike behaviors where I have a tantrum, I freak out, I lose my shit, looking at pictures of him as I am now in adulthood and as he is now in his season of adulthood helps me to heal. So like, yeah, seeing pictures of my dad smiling where he isn't yelling at the family for like being too loud or something is healing for me. And I think that if I'm able to show compassion to all the parts of this man, all the while standing firm in the adult version of myself, I will be able to show more compassion to myself, to the people around me that I love, that I am attached to, that love me, and start to arrest any major reactions I have to being hurt or wanting to hurt others. Does that make sense? So it's like twofold. It's me being the grown-ass, wonderful adult, standing firm in that identity, this version of me, and looking at my dad at the way he is today, this adult version of him, that helps me heal. That brings me to compassion. I know all of the shit that I've done, all of the people that I have yelled at or neglected, or all the shit that I've done to my body because I just like hated myself for so long. And I know how awesome I turned out. I can look at my dad and think the same things. Yes, you did some shit. And yes, you're still gonna fuck up. It is because you are a human. You are still completely fucking lovable. And that goes in a cycle, which means I can fuck up and I am still completely lovable and I can fuck up and people will still love me. You just got to get really good at apologizing, I think, sometimes. Anyway, I have learned so much about my dad over the years, like his adolescence, his relationships with his own parents, his relationship with his brother, and those have all sucked, like unimaginably sucked. But it's important to me to learn these things about him so that I can understand him better and be more compassionate and accepting of why he is the way he is. So all of these relationships that he had were estranged, like emotionally, physically. His own father died when my dad was 17. And according to my grandma, their marriage was terrible anyway. My dad's brother was the favorite. My dad hadn't spoken to his brother in a million years before he died a couple of years ago. Like, all of that would wreak havoc on someone's emotions. So it makes perfect sense to me that he treated his own family and his own self the way that he has. It makes sense to me that he has a tough time regulating his emotions and that he carries grudges. And despite him telling me that he has, quote, made peace with all of that, end quote, his outbursts at family dinners would suggest otherwise. Anyway, I know that if I can continue to practice compassion for this man, who is currently laid up in the hospital doing his world hospital tour and waiting for surgery in 2 weeks, who is out of control of his own life and his body in this moment, who is subject to his shitty genetics and his own life's mistakes. If I can show forgiveness to this man, I can show it to myself. If I can accept that he is a better version of his own father, that his feelings of inadequacy led him to be a bit of a family terrorist, but that this is also the driver behind how much he loves to cook for my mom, how much he loves fixing shit at my house or my sister's house, how much love he puts into picking out birthday cards or Valentine's Day cards and writing long messages with different colors and pictures that he drew for my daughter, how much he loves making people laugh, even when the jokes are really dumb or very ill-timed. All that stuff is also most likely led by these feelings of inadequacy from his own wounds. And I can also acknowledge that he is a better version of himself today than he was 30 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. And I know that that's possible because I am a better version of myself. And what do I think? I'm the only person in the world that gets to become a more evolved version of themselves? No, you've heard me say that before. I am not fucking special. We can all do this. Anyway, picturing my dad as a human lends itself to my forgiving him. And ultimately, forgiveness, and however many times I have to forgive, feels a hell of a lot lighter than anger. Also, like, I know how to do anger. I am a professional with rage at this point. Been there, done that, got the t-shirt. The skill I would like to work on getting better at is forgiveness. Did it feel great when I was 3 and my dad disappeared? No, it probably felt like my whole world was ending. Am I glad he did that because we have an awesome life in Canada? Fuck yes. Am I glad that I used drugs and alcohol and promiscuity to cope with the dark feelings I carried around for such a long time? No, I am not. But am I grateful that I overcame that stuff and I now get to help others do the same? Fucking right I am. Being immersed in the dualities of people, both with my profession but also in my personal life, is definitely a blessing, though sometimes it feels like a curse. I often say that there are no good and bad feelings, just pleasant and unpleasant ones. And I think that might ring true with many of our wounds. They are highly unpleasant for a long time. For a lot of time, they are very, very prevalent. It's like the only thing that you can feel. But a lot of good can come out of them if you examine how they show up in your life and then commit to doing better for yourself and the people you love and who love you. And I acknowledge that sometimes that's really tough, you guys, honestly. The physical feeling of fear, rage, all of that consumes you before your rational brain kicks in. So a lot of the work that I've been doing lately has been more preventative than anything, because I acknowledge that I can quickly be knocked over by the tidal wave of my own emotions. So I have to do some preventative stuff. And I'm finding more and more ways to keep my brain clear and my self-esteem high and my nervous system calm. You guys know journaling is a big one for me, writing down all of my thoughts when they're consuming me in a notebook, either full sentences, bullet points, lists, whatever. Working on giving love and care to my inner child has been the best thing ever. Like, I can't stress this enough. I write letters to her. I draw pictures of her and I, like, together. Because I want her to know that, like, I'm here, like, the adult version of me is here. I got it. I say out loud to her, like, it's okay, honey, I got you, like, all of that. And of course, as I've mentioned a billion times this year, breath work and the hot and cold therapy, which helps to train my system to stay fucking calm more often than not, especially during high stress situations. But also, have boundaries like a motherfucker. And if someone is yelling, it's okay to leave the room. And if you're at a family dinner, take your plate with you. Oh, and take your kid. Okay, we don't want to repeat those cycles. Thank you so much for waiting for this episode and for listening to this episode of Recovering From Everything, a podcast for everyone who has ever had anything happen to them ever, including having a father. I hope this has been helpful for you, or at the very least, somewhat entertaining. It's really easy to attribute truth to many of our overwhelming emotions, but sometimes just pause if you can and ask yourself, is this really what I'm upset about? Or is it something older? Is it a relic from the past? If you are celebrating Father's Day, I hope you have a lovely day. And remember, you may be fucked up, but your dad is probably more fucked up. Also, if you know anyone who would want to do some advertising in this podcast, give me a shout on Instagram. I'd love to start making some money off this thing. DM me at recoveringfromeverything_Kinga. See you soon. Love you.